Father, we ask your blessings as we open the Bible tonight. Thank you for the privilege to once again open it and hear it. But God, we just pray tonight that the Holy Spirit would meet with us. And that God, most of all, you would be here in your presence and in your power to confirm the word to our hearts and our minds. We pray, Lord, for that tonight. Lord, we pray tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you so much for your blessings. And really, Lord, a break in the cold to just be back in church tonight is just such a blessing. We thank you for that opportunity, Lord, tonight. So bless the words that we preach tonight. Teach us thy word and give us a greater heart of love and readiness for it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the Apostle Paul is writing here to the Church of Thessalonica. And according to chapter 1 and according to chapter 2, there were some difficulties that could overtake them. And we see those main difficulties were that Satan was trying to shake them and put fear into them. He was trying to intimidate their service for the Lord. He was trying to always, he was trying to deceive them, trying to trick them. And he knew that these people were people that were solid in the Lord. They were not just going to go run and to do wicked sin, and they weren't going to have all these sinful difficulties. They were a different kind of church. They were a church that loved God, and so Satan had to attack them differently. Can I tell you, no matter what level of Christianity you're at, the devil is always going to attack you. The devil's always going to come with some kind of attack, whether you're a young Christian, whether you're young in the faith, or whether you've been saved many years. Satan does not like the child of God who is accomplishing profitably, doing something faithfully for the Lord. The devil hates that. That is the number one thing that Satan's going to go after is faithful people. He's going to go after us and try to shake our faithfulness. And I tell you, there's only one thing that can stop that is if we recognize it and we say, no, I'm not going to lose my faithfulness. I'm going to stay faithful to God. And that's the key. And so I think in some of the difficulties that the Thessalonian church was facing, they kept a faithfulness to the Lord. And in chapter 3, we come to this chapter here, and the Apostle Paul encourages them in some areas, and he wants them to do something. Now, notice chapter 3, verse 1. I want you to notice, first of all, the need for the word to have free course. The need for the word to have free course. Now, notice verse 1. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Now, notice that last phrase, even as it is with you. When the Apostle Paul came to the church of Thessalonica, they were ready to receive the word of God. When it was taught, when it was preached, when it was given to them, and thank God for those who gave it, but when it was given to them, they took a hold of it in their heart and in their mind. Thank God for that. What a blessing. Do you remember the day when God, the word of God, probably a preacher or somebody, gave you the word? Do you realize that, thank God, you wouldn't be here tonight, you wouldn't be in church at all, had not that word landed on good ground? Thank God for that every day. Hey, when you get up tomorrow, thank God for the fact that the day you heard the gospel, it landed on good ground. Thank God for that. You could have had a bad day. You could have had a trouble. The Satan could have put a barrier up in front of you that day. But thank God in his grace, somehow Satan was thwarted and the God gave free course in your own heart and your mind. Don't ever forget the day you got saved. Don't ever forget it. It's a glorious day. It's a wonderful day. It's a day that we need to always thank God for, is the day when we trusted Christ. Oh, Satan would have tried everything he could to have kept you from that, but he didn't. I thank God sometimes when I preach a message. Years ago when I was a kid, I noticed my pastor was preaching a message. And there was a lady, she was like on the third row, and she sat with their daughter. Her daughter was like a young teenage daughter, and my pastor preached on the Bible. He opened the Bible, and he gave the invitation at the end of the service. And at the end of the service, I saw the girl. She was going to walk out, and she was heading out to that side of the pew, going out that side, and she was walking out to get saved. And I saw her, and I watched her, and I was like, praise the Lord. But the last minute, I saw that mom. She had to stretch to reach out there and grabbed her daughter and pulled her back in. And I thought, boy, the gospel had reached her heart. She was ready, wasn't she? She was wanting the gospel in her heart. It had free course in her heart. But notice something happened. And I think it dovetails with verse 2. Notice verse 2. It says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Men that lack faith often hinder the free course of the word that speaks to people's hearts. You know, it's funny how so many people can be hindered. I had a school principal one time who stopped into a church. He got in the church. It was a big church. He sat in the back row. They got in late, and so he sat in the back row. He said the message was really good. He said, but there was somebody right in front of them that were chewing on their gum and chomping on gum and just messing around, not paying attention. And he told me this. He came back and he preached in chapel that day. And he said, you know, if I would have been a lost man, I would have been distracted from those people. They would have distracted me from allowing my heart to hear the word of God. You see, there has to be some stillness for the Holy Spirit to speak and work in people's minds and hearts. And he came back and he said in school, he was school principal, he said, now, if you guys ever mess around, he used it as a lesson to teach us in school not to mess around and be distracting. You know, I think it's possible even to, the devil use anything. You know, when my kids were growing up, you know, the devil will use a little kid wanting to go to the bathroom. And sometimes a little kid just wants to go play. They really don't need to go to the bathroom. But my wife was wise about this when she was, we were raising our kids. She said, you're going to go to the bathroom before the service. And if you don't, you're not going during the service. And there were many a times when they were squirming and squealing in the middle of service. Nope, you're not going. You know what? They learned. They learned even at an early age. I better go to the bathroom early. And the importance of that was so that somebody would not be distracted if the Holy Spirit was working in their heart. Because you see, the devil can use any tiny little thing. Any tiny little thing to prevent somebody from hearing the gospel. So this is what the Apostle Paul is teaching. He's saying here, he's saying, all right, let's pray. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, he says, pray. Pray. Why? How does the gospel get free course? Now, the word free course here is a word that means, it really means to run. In other words, if you're running, you need a clear path. And this is the idea of free course. It's like, we want the gospel to run. We want it to go forward. We don't want anything hindering it. And so what he said was, we have to pray that free course would be continued. We have to pray for that. I believe there are hardened countries that can be opened up through prayer. Through prayer. And Paul specifically says here, he said, brethren, he said, pray for us that the word may have free course. Now notice, he didn't say, pray that we would have free course. He said, pray that the word would have free course. When the word has free course. I believe God opens hearts through prayer. Pray that the Bible, that the word will have free course. Oh, listen, I want to tell you something tonight. We've got to be praying much that the word of God has free course. You know, I couldn't help but think of the Brazilian scriptures this past week that we've all sacrificially given to that and put upon our hearts. And before it even got down there, we're praying. And you know what? I tell you, it just burdens my heart that those John Romans can get to somebody. And we're talking about people who don't have a Bible at all. They don't have a page of it. And they would take it and read it and literally would treasure it. But it's stuck in some warehouse somewhere. And you know what I want to tell you? We got to pray that through. Pray that God will give free course. We want the scripture to run. We want it to have no strongholds against it, nothing barring its freedom. If there's one thing that we need freedom in today, it's that the word can have free course in hearts and minds of people today. We need that. I was reading in the BIMI magazine. I get a monthly magazine from BIMI. And there's a missionary there that God had called from Costa Rica to Belgium. Now think of the cultural differences in that. But he was in Costa Rica, and the gospel was very open there. But God moved him to Belgium, and he started to work in Belgium. His name is Brent Hoffman. Pray for Brother Brent. And I want to read a little bit of what he went through here. He said these words. He said, there were times, he said, door knocking has been very different as well. In Costa Rica, I was used to people opening doors and talking forever. There were times when I had to make an excuse to get away so that I could go to the next door. Here, he's talking about in Belgium, when we door knock, people look at us strangely. It's like they never experienced someone at the door inviting them to church or asking about their soul. Recently, God touched my heart. I knocked on the door of about 10 different nationalities, and not a single one really even cared about church. One man told me that he did not even believe in anything. I asked him how he happened to exist if there was nothing to believe in, and he laughed. And we had a nice conversation, but he still was not convinced to even come try church. The most heartbreaking thing was his little girl standing by. His unbelief is going to hurt her for who knows how long. That's why we're so determined to reach the local people around us. They have no idea of the darkness that surrounds them without Christ. That is why God has sent us to a place that needs a witness to bring light to the lost. You know, the gospel is compared to light. And when somebody's in darkness, you know what happens when you're in darkness? Your eyes kind of adjust to the darkness. But you still stumble. You still cannot see right, because no matter how much your eyes adjust, you're still in darkness. And when you're in darkness and someone shines a light, what does that do? It's shocking in the beginning. And your eyes have to readjust to light. But when you see the light, you realize that you are in that darkness that you were in originally. And so I'm simply saying to you tonight, what this missionary is experiencing is that people need to pray, God, give a free course. God, give a free course. You know, the Indonesian Bible is, the New Testament is finished. They're starting to print it. And from what I understand, I don't know if it's together, but Beam's Bible, where we get our Bibles from, doing Bible handout, Beam's Bible is raising money for 30,000 Indonesian Bibles to try to get those Bibles there finally have a good copy of the New Testament there. But I'll tell you what, it's going to face a lot of battles over there. And long before that ever happens, we need to pray for free course. Pray that God will open the course, just like God did in our hearts. And that's like what Paul was saying. He said, just like the Word of God had free course in your heart, let's pray that God will do that for other people's hearts and minds as the Word of God does that. And by the way, notice, without the Word, there's no need for the course to be open. See? But when you have the Word, you have to pray that the Word will get through. And so, this is the point that Paul is making. Now, notice secondly here, verse 2. Notice sometimes there are obstructions. Verse 2. I wish there were no obstructions. But you know what? I don't think we will pray like we should if we don't really understand that there are obstructions. Because, you know, we'll just say, oh, this is going to happen. And we get defeated or discouraged if it doesn't. And we have to go back and say, did we pray about that? Did we ask God for free course in that area? Because sometimes there's wicked and unreasonable men, he says, and men of who don't have faith, men who don't believe in God, and they just soon tear it down as to see it go forth. You know, there's people in the world who could care less about the gospel and the Word of God. But I want to tell you something. That's because they are in that darkness. Their eyes have adjusted to darkness. And when they need when they have the light, that's when they can really see. You know, we could have church in here tonight, turn out all the lights, and you'd probably kind of adjust somewhat to it. But you couldn't read your Bible. There's a lot of things you couldn't do because of that. And it's the same way in darkened countries. So we need to pray, God, give free course and be glorified, that God would be glorified. We so need it. But notice verse 3, this is the hope of the Christian. But the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Now notice, it's God and His Word that he gives credit to. Now I believe Paul was a faithful Christian, but he didn't give credit to himself. He said, God is faithful. God is the one who's going to keep this thing going. We've got to put our faith and our trust in Him. He will establish you and He will keep you from the evil. Thank God for God's faithfulness. He's going to protect the missionary. You're going to hit roadblocks, but you got to keep going forward. And in our Christian life too, we're going to hit roadblocks. You're going to hit those things one day that bewilder you. And you're going to hit some things someday that the devil's just going to knock you for a loop. And it's always to get you away from the Word. That's always what it's about. And that's the deception. But whenever he can get you away from the Word, you lose your understanding that God is faithful. And if the devil can get you away from, and by the way, if he can get you out of church for even a good reason, or a supposed good reason, there is no good reason to get out of church, but some supposed good reason, the devil will put something up in you. In your mind, you'll say, oh, yep, that's the way to go. I knew a lady that was faithful to church, and she told me one day that she said, I just started to realize I need to think about myself. That was the ruse that the devil used to get her away from church and away from the Lord. And you know what? The Word is what strengthens our understanding that God is faithful. Amen? The Word is what strengthens our understanding that God is faithful. Oh, listen, He is so faithful. He is so faithful. God's been faithful to this church. And I think every young preacher and every young Christian's got to learn, you just keep going forward. Because God will be there. He'll take care of you. Well, you'll have times when you don't know what to do. You have times when you're I mean, you won't understand what's going on. The key is just sticking with God and His Word. Staying in church, being faithful, and God gets you through. Like one preacher said, my favorite verse in the Bible is, and it came to pass. It came, but it also passed. And the faithfulness of God is what does that. The faithfulness of God, He allows it to come, but He also allows it to pass. And we have to just remember that. So what does that do? Verse 4, notice, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now notice, there had to be some patience involved in their serving, right? He said now in verse 4, he's saying, now God's faithful, but you got to do your part. You got to do your part. In other words, you have to give God something to bless your faithfulness with. He will be faithful, but we always have to do our part. And Paul's expressing his confidence in him. He said, as the Lord touches you, we know you're going to do what God tells you to do. We know that you're going to follow the Word of God. And then he said, verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. You know what you do? he's encouraging us here to be directed to God's love. To be directed to God's love. Direct your hearts to the love of God. Hey, listen, when you stop and consider and thank God and just look at the love of God, it brings about this confidence inside of us that no barrier can bring down in our life. God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. The love of God passes all understanding. We cannot imagine it. We cannot fathom it. It is there in our darkest hours. The love of God is there. At any time, we're willing to put our heart on it. The love of God's right there. It's not like it's missing. We just have to direct our hearts to it. You ever had to direct your heart? Amen? Direct your heart to the love of God. And then he said, into the patient waiting for Christ. Now, this isn't something independent Baptists are good at. Amen? We're not patient. Right? I mean, we can't. I was at a stoplight this morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. It was dark. And I was at a stoplight and it just stayed red. There's nobody coming this way. There's nobody coming that way. The lights are green going both ways, and I'm sitting there. It felt like an hour. And if I wasn't in the church van, I'd have ran the red light. Amen. And I was getting ready to, and all of a sudden, I looked around. Anybody around here? This light's red. I'm getting ready to hit the gas, and all of a sudden, boop, it turned yellow. Thank you, Lord. Now I don't have to worry about a ticket. Amen. We're not patient. But patience, when you have a trial or you have something affect you or hurt you, you have to be patient through it, directed to the love of God and with patience, because most things that happen to us in life usually come and God allows them to pass. We just often make the wrong decision before we allow it to pass. And we make choices without patience guiding us. And when we do that, what happens? We usually make the wrong choice, or the choice affects us negatively. So God's saying, all right, God's faithful. He'll see you through. And I think the church here, and from what I understand of the passage, is that there had been some, maybe that had come into church and they were just unreasonable, or they were just unhappy or causing trouble, or whatever. Some men just don't have faith, you know. I think everybody, even with little faith, is welcome to the church. Everybody is. But it becomes an issue when somebody wants to cause trouble in the church. That's a problem. And what God is teaching the church here through Paul, he's saying, if you just be faithful, just be patient, you'll see the faithfulness of God. Amen? Yeah. Patience leads us to many good things in God. And, you know, like one preacher said, waiting on God is never in neutral. Waiting on God is never neutral. And sometimes we just have to get along with God, be patient through the thing, just keep on praying and watch the faithfulness of God come through. And it will. It will. I can tell you, there's times in my life when I've needed an answer and the answer didn't come immediately. Well, what do? You just keep on praying and being patient. Those are the times that the devil wants to take you and destroy your faith in God. And when he does, he gets you out of the Word. And then he can destroy your life. So Paul's saying here, okay, be patient. Trust the Lord. You'll see him. He'll be faithful. Some men around are not going to have faith, but not. Don't let it be said about you. He said, you're just hanging there in the love of God and the patient waiting for God. That is a valuable thing and a valuable, important thing in our life. All right, now go over, if you would, verse 13. Now here's a third principle that he gives them. He says, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. Here's a man that's doing good. He's doing right, and he's, you know, just faithful, but somehow he gets tired of it and weary of it. Let me say this. You may get tired in the work of God, but never get tired of the work of God. Amen? Never get tired of the work. If you ever get tired of the work of God, you're backslidden. Mark it down. Amen? Hit the altar fast. Amen? Hit the altar fast if you get tired of the work of God. Now, you get tired in the Word of God. You say, what's the remedy for that? A nice pillow, a warm bed, and go to bed. Amen? Get some rest. Get some rest. I knew a man who was a genuinely godly man, a spiritual man, and he wanted to push his body to the limits to please God. He had the right motive. But he only allowed himself rest 2 hours a night. And the problem was, is his head wasn't thinking clear because he needed some rest. You know, God knows we're human. And sometimes you just got to get rest. Hey, when you're kind of thinking crazy thoughts, or you're overly emotional, or, you know, you're mad and you want to jump and bite somebody's head off, can I give you some advice? Go to bed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Boy, that's good, Brother Larson. Good preaching right there. Get some rest. You need some rest. Listen, you're only human. You're only human. Did you know God understands that? God understands. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we're dust. Amen? He knows that. Sometimes you just got to get some rest. Amen. It's a good principle. Amen. All right, let's move on. Be not weary in well-doing, verse 13. So don't, hey, when you're doing right, just keep on doing it. I've been pastoring and preaching for over 30 years now. You say, preacher, do you always get excited when you get up here to preach? No. Sometimes study and preparation is work. But you know what? You don't get weary of well-doing. You don't get weary of well-doing. You may get weary in well-doing. But don't ever get tired of God's work. Don't ever get tired of praying and giving, going, doing your best. Sometimes you got to pull the ox out of the ditch. Amen. That ox gets in the ditch every once in a while. He's got to be pulled out. But you know what? If that ox falls in the ditch every Sunday morning, I think I'd shoot that ox and go get me another one. Amen? Amen. But don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. God is faithful. His faithfulness is there. His faithfulness will always arise in the heart of the Christian who's doing well. His faithfulness will be there. And it'll establish you. So the goal in our service for the Lord is to be established in God's faithfulness, knowing that God's going to take care of you. And there are times when we have to cry out and say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. I tell you what, sometimes I've gone through some trials I didn't understand, and I couldn't even explain them to you. They were that confusing. You say, what do you do in those times? Oh, I'm just going to quit and give up. Oh, I'm going to throw in the towel. You know, a lot of times we say, God's not good right there. God's not good. He didn't do this for me. And you know, God's not required to do everything we want him to do. Amen. But we ought to be established enough in our life just to know in the back of our mind, God's faithful. He'll see me through. He will take care of me. I have no doubt. God will see me through, and he will. He will. So don't get weary in well-doing. Just keep on serving the Lord. Somebody asked me one time, you know, I think it's good, husband and wife, get away sometimes. Good vacation, get a little rest, enjoy time with your family. That's good. Restful times are good. They're important in life. Sometimes we need them. Amen? Sometimes we, you know, we're only human. And sometimes if we get our humanity messed up and don't get, you know, I think this, the point is that everything in life ought to be in balance. Have a balanced Christian life. Balance yourself in the truths of the word, in the Lord. Don't be weary in well-doing. Now he talks about here, verse 14. Now he says here, now if any man obey not our word by this epistle, know that man, have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Now, here's what he's saying. He's saying there's somebody, there may be somebody who influences you that's not following the word of God. What do? You don't have any company with them. Now, it doesn't mean that you cut them off. Because notice what the next verse says. Count him not as an enemy, but in verse 15, count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Amen? But you see, this again plays into our humanity as we serve the Lord. Because sometimes we can be influenced in the wrong way by somebody who's not obeying God, who's not trying to do what's right. And what does it do? It brings you to want to quit on the Lord. It brings you to to where you don't want to do well in the Lord. And God's teaching us, don't do that. Don't be weary in well-doing. Someone tries to influence you off, you know what's good to do? Admonish them. Admonish them. Not in hatred, but in love. Admonish them. Say, hey, brother. Hey, you ought to come to church. You know that thing you're thinking in your head that's not right? You ought to make that right with the Lord, and you ought to live for the Lord. I'm your brother. I love you. Admonish him in the Lord. Amen. That's scriptural. And notice verse 16. He says, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Now, he must have been a southerner, right? The Lord be with you all. Y'all. That's singular, though. All y'all, that's plural. Amen? I've learned these things. But so what he's teaching us here is, hey, the Lord's going to be with you. Just keep on steady, being faithful. Keep on serving the Lord. Keep on serving the Lord. Be faithful. Because why? The Lord's faithful. The Lord's faithful. He'll be right there. He'll be right there. Well, there's that one thing that I could get into a new convert is that understanding. The Lord's going to be right with you. Trust in him. He'll be faithful. Just hang in there. Keep serving the Lord. The Lord's faithful. Boy, I'll tell you what. In our lives, we're going to see through the patient waiting on God, we'll see his faithfulness arise again and again and again. He'll be there. He'll be faithful. Amen. Titus thought he was going to have one more. He's got two. Amen. But the Lord will be there for him. The Lord will be faithful. You say, oh, I had this unexpected problem in my life. Yeah, you think the Lord didn't know about that? He knew about that. He'll be faithful. He'll be faithful. Oh, preacher, I don't know how I'm going to get through. Well, the Lord does. The Lord does. So what we got to do is just put our eyes on him, let him carry us through. And you know what? We can put it all back on his shoulders. We can put it back on his shoulders. We can say, Lord, I can't carry this burden. I'm praying about it. I'm living as best right out of your commands, but I can't handle this burden. Lord, I give it to you because I know your faithfulness. Amen. And God can carry it through. God will see us through. God's always going to be faithful, and he'll keep you from evil and protect you. What a blessing. Amen. What exhortation we see in this passage. Then lastly, verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Grace is there every day. The grace of God. Amen. We need to allow this grace to control our heart and our life. The grace of God. The grace of God will be there. That is what enables us to trust in him, is knowing that his grace is good. His grace is sufficient for us. It'll be there. Trust in him. Trust in him. Let's bow our heads tonight.